Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today's podcast. This is your host, Carrie Aller. Today I have with me one of my best friends, Twyla. Hey Twyla.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing great. What an honor to be on your podcast this morning.
Well, thank you.
So awesome.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege to call you my sister, my friend, and to have you on here. So thank you so much for coming on. Twyla is an author. She is a speaker. She's an entrepreneur. And she is the hostess of the mostest. I tell you that right now. She is amazing.
Aww.
She has so many different gifts and talents. And I am truly blessed to have you in my life. So Twyla, I'd love for you to kind of talk about your book a little bit. And then I'd also kind of, I really feel like your story is such a powerful story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that you can speak to so many people about so many different things. So I'd love for you to kind of tell about your book a little bit at first, and then we can kind of go into your story.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I'm still working on my book. It's actually in pre-launch right now.
Yeah.
So I am taking pre-orders, looking at, you know, maybe 8 weeks at the longest for it to be launched, but hopefully not that long.
Yeah.
The month at the earliest, 8 weeks at the longest. And I do have a link for people to pre-order. The name of my book is called On the Other Side of Fear, Growing Up Amish and My Journey After Leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And like Carrie said, I have so many different things that can help so many different people in this book. From growing up in a extremely religious culture, the Amish Mennonite. And then when I left, everything that I got into after that, after leaving the Amish, and then even after, and then being in the church, going through just all the years of fear that I left and where I wasn't getting healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go ahead and just tell you a little bit about myself. I was raised Amish Mennonite, and all my ancestors come from everybody in my bloodline comes from the Amish. There was a gentleman back, my ancestors come from Europe where they were escaping persecution.
Wow.
Back in the early 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then they just developed the Amish culture, and they had a certain set of rules, like they have a book of rules, what we have to apply by. So they still believe in, you know, getting saved and, you know, read out of the same Bible you read.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they have a different meaning for everything and a reason why they dress and do everything the way they do. So, and I talk about that in the book, you know, why they do the things they do. What's the difference between Old Order Amish, the horse and buggy Amish, and then the Amish Mennonite the way I grew up?
Wow.
It's still kind of the same thing, except we just have the cars, electricity, and telephones, and we don't dress. You know, we have color, and they don't have color. So they don't have the Old Order Amish with the horse and buggy. They don't have electricity. They don't have telephones. So I will be talking about that in the book.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then what it's like growing up in that culture.
Yeah.
So when you grow up in a culture like that, it's not going to be easy. Hey, I'm just going to leave. It's extremely sheltered. And we're to ourselves. Now, a lot of people think that, hey, do we live in do we live all together? No, we don't live far apart. Usually an Old Order Amish or Amish Mennonite live in, we usually live out in the country on the dirt roads. You're not going to see the Amish living in town. And the reason we live out in the country, because, you know, where I grew up, a whole bunch of people had their own dairy farms, you know, where they had their cows, the fresh milk. Then, we got to live out in the country so we can raise our gardens. You can't do that in town or in the city. We grew up, you know, doing everything ourselves. We made our own clothes. For the women. You didn't have to do that for the men. And we had to make our dresses a certain way. We made our own coverings. Now they wore veils. We just did everything ourselves. You know, growed our own gardens, canned our own food all summer long. So the Amish lifestyle is really just, when we're old enough to walk, we're working. So, you know, I was already working at 4 years old. You're helping clean the house every week.
Wow.
You do all the chores. While the dad goes off and works, the mom is home with the family, you know, keeping the house, raising the children, doing all of that. And then, of course, you know, we get to, you know, we play outside. It's very private how we grew up. There's not traffic. So we get to run around outside, you know, and have all that freedom of privacy.
Yeah.
Being way out in the country. But it's a very tough, I mean, just a lifestyle of just extremely hard work and toil. But that's just all we know.
Right.
But I never liked that. And I was always drawn to the outside world. Everything I wanted to do was not in our culture. I wanted to play an instrument. I wanted to play the piano. I wanted to play the flute. I wanted to be a ballerina when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I started being drawn to makeup because I would see magazines. And then I was around my dad's side of the family. My dad, all his brothers and sisters left the Amish years ago, like 40 years ago.
Wow.
So I was a lot around my cousins that were not Amish with makeup, and I would take my hair down. And so I was always drawn to fashion, design, beautiful things. And then I found out later, but also on the other note, me being drawn to that, in school, as a very young, I was experiencing also rejection. And I didn't like the rules of our church because they wanted us to be so plain.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to look beautiful because for years I didn't feel beautiful.
Mm.
Because I was experienced rejection and guys treating me horribly in school at a crazy young age. Now, years later, I found out what happened. I didn't find out until 2 weeks ago why I went through all those years of rejection and then also becoming sexually aware in third grade. And then also experiencing, after I left the Amish in 99, end up becoming, you know, losing my virginity and becoming a sex addict and, you know, doing all these things and not knowing the root reason to why it happened. So I'm going to go ahead and share with you a little bit. And these are going to be things that are in my book. But I found out just 3 weeks ago, and I prayed and asked God to show me, bring somebody out of nowhere that's straight from answer from God. Was I sexually molested as a very young child? Why have I had all these issues with men for all these years, not thinking I'm good enough? And then when I left the Amish, I chased him. Then when I got in the church, I didn't think I was good enough for one. But I still was not healing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left the Amish, I got around the wrong crowd, became so addicted to the attention of men.
Right.
Extreme addiction. I thought, oh, it's because I didn't have a great relationship with my father. That's what I thought for years. It wasn't bad enough because my father was always in my life.
Right.
But I was thinking that because we didn't have a close relationship. Well, that was a lie. That wasn't true. And I'm going to back up a second. 10 years ago, my aunt, my mom's youngest sister, she left the Amish in 99, the same year that I did. She came to me in 2007, I believe, or 2008, and said, Twyla, we recently found out that there was a lot of people in this community that were sexually molested, or several people that were sexually molested as kids. They didn't know it, but God revealed it to them.
Wow.
And they found it out later, and now they're getting their healing. And I believe that happened to you. Mind you, this was in 07 or 08, okay?
Wow.
Because of what I had come out of. Because I became a sex addict, ended up becoming an exotic dancer in 03, and it ended up prostituting my body. But then I walked away from all that the first part of January of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, God delivered me from a lot of things, but I was still walking with a limp getting back in the church. So I went and spoke to somebody who was a spiritual mentor and was like a father figure to me at the time, back in 08. And I really looked up to this person. And this person is very wise and prophetic and, you know, well, if I believe if I share this with him, he's going to know by the Spirit whether that happened to me or not. Because I'm not spiritually mature at that time.
Right.
So I just need an answer. Okay, I'm safe with this person. So I went and talked to this person. And this person said, no, I don't think that happened to you.
Mm.
You were just looking for love in all the wrong places. And because of what you are, it's seen in your work. I didn't understand that until I listened to some tapes later that talked about people who have those issues, if you, you know, have high sexual energy, it's seen in the kind of work you do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. People who have high sexual energy have to protect it, direct it. And when they're very intense in their work, that's that going into their work, just not sleeping around.
Right.
And then this person, you know, just was telling me some other stuff, but that I was not sexually molested.
Right.
So I thought, okay, great. So 10 years go by. And all these years, I'm like, still, you know, not feeling good enough. And I'm like, why do I still have a chip on my shoulder toward men?
Hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. So last year, I talked to somebody and I'm thinking, hey, can you be sexually molested and you not know that it happened? And they were like, absolutely. Pray and ask God
mm-hmm.
who it was. Well, a name came up in my spirit, but you got to understand, I really didn't know for sure. So I just kind of let it go. Right. And this person was going to help me, but then they never did. So I went to this conference last year, this women's conference in Tyler, Texas. And I said, you know, I think this might have happened to me. Could you guys pray for me? So they prayed for me and I thought I got all this deliverance. Well, then I forgot I had talked about that. Well, then I talked to somebody later on in the year, you know, yeah, that could have happened, whatever. But then I just had all these other things come up that distracted me. Okay. A year, here I am now. Almost a year ago, I had made some really wrong choices and did some really embarrassing things because of hurt. And it was a root to the hurt of pain of what happened in my past with men.
Mm.
And it manifested because of some great hurt. And I did some things that really hurt some people. I never intended to hurt these people the way I did. Okay? But there's always two sides to the story. And the thing is, God had told me months earlier to get away from this, I mean, to leave the situation, to get out of my comfort zone. When God tells you to leave a situation or not be a part of
mm-hmm.
something you've been a part of for years and years,
right?
He's trying to protect you and he's trying to protect others. Trying to protect you from getting hurt and also you hurting others. So I didn't listen because I was in my comfort zone. I ended up doing something because I kept seeing stuff I didn't like, but God still was trying to tell me to move, but I still wouldn't listen. So when I finally decided to leave, I was told to stay. Oh no, you got to stay for several weeks, but God had told me to leave and I was ready to leave.
Right.
But somebody commanded me to stay. So I listened to that person knowing what God said, went against what God said.
Hmm.
Then I ended up doing something that devastated myself and shamed other people. Then I also had the wrong person in my life at the time who was also feeding me poison. So I was gossiping really bad. So I let gossip come in my life. And then I ended up betraying people that I loved. Okay. Well, I tried to make the situation right. Did everything because I'm a peacemaker, tried to go above and beyond, but then, you know, did what I could do, but I still had to leave. So here I come around here. It's almost been a year since all this stuff took place. You know, I had prayed and asked God to please show me what happened. And God brought somebody into my life 3 weeks ago at a women's group that I go to on Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady that I never met before told me that I was sexually molested a child. It was a straight answer from God.
Wow.
She said that the love that I have for people is so strong, but because of what I happened when I was very young, and I can't remember it, I've had this shell. And so I can't love the way God wants me to love. So now I'm beginning to heal. So now God is slowly taking these shells off of me.
Mm.
And my countenance is starting to change. Fear is starting to come off my life. Because my book is called On the Other Side of Fear,
right.
Growing Up Amish and My Journey After Leaving. So therefore, by the time the book is launched, I will be completely on the other side of fear. So that's why he's working so quickly to get all this fear out of me and people pleasing.
Yeah, that's powerful.
So I know I went into a lot there, but there's so much, like, for anybody who is deeply in whatever religion, in a deeply religious culture. I mean, anyone, there's a bunch of rules you got to abide by where you're just not free in Christ. And you may be wondering, hey, I'd like to get out of this. Because, there's not a lot of people who leave.
Right.
Because it's so deeply embedded in your culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your bloodline. That's all you know. Because we don't identify with the outside world. Yeah, we do business with people, but we don't have close friends. It's just our community. That's all we know. So it takes a lot of guts to walk away from that and not care what people think.
Right.
Because you will be judged.
Right.
And there are cultures that'll be like, hey, if you leave, not in my culture, but there's other cultures that if you leave, you can't ever come back. You're divorced from the family. You can't sit down with your family ever again. It's that bad. Thank God I didn't come from that, because I still have a great relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, the fact of being molested as a kid and not knowing it until 40 some years later.
Right.
Because it would have been when I was at least 4 years old.
Wow.
When I told my mom what happened, she said, you were such a happy child. And all of a sudden you weren't happy anymore. And I never knew what happened. Now I know.
Wow.
I have no idea who did this to me. I don't remember a thing. The lady told me, don't try to figure out who it was. Let it go.
Yeah.
God gave your answer. Move on and heal. Because at first I was like, who in the world could have possibly done this to me?
And I love your story because, first of all, you're so transparent. And I know your book is going to help millions and millions of people. I really know that. And I love how you're so transparent and you're not ashamed to talk about your journey thus mm-hmm. far. And in fact, there's a segment in my book, Enjoy the Journey, of you in there. And mm-hmm. we talk about your story. And Twyla, what would you say to the ones right now that are walking in fear, that are allowing their the hard things in their life almost kind of control and dictate where they walk, how they carry themselves, what they do? Like, what would you say to those people right now?
Well, first of all, I want to say this to you. I'm going to just give you the meaning of fear, because fear is a spirit.
Yeah.
And it can just bind you up and control you. First of all, God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. What is that verse again, Carrie?
2 Timothy 1:7.
Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. The meaning of fear, F-E-A-R, means false evidence that appears real.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that it is real, because I have lived in fear most of my entire life, when it has controlled you for so long, because I'm literally in a point right now where God is literally almost has taken it out of my life. I still got just a little bit to go.
Yeah.
But I've come such a long way.
Yeah.
And if you are tired, I mean, it's like, especially if you've been have fear control you for so long, it's just like it seems a little uncomfortable when you start coming out. Pray and ask God, first of all, to begin putting the right people in your life.
Amen.
Okay? Because I've had people throughout the years, after walking away from being an exotic dancer in the church, a lot of people that came in my life, they were bound by fear. So it was a lot of fear-based relationships throughout those, the past 13 years. Because they were still bound by some fear. The kind of person that I am, I have empathy really, really strong.
Yeah.
Really high.
Yeah.
And so when I get in situations where people can be very controlling and screaming at me or taunting me, I will always back up and not fight back because right. we don't do that.
Right.
We don't fight back. We don't talk back. We just let people kind of walk all over us. Now, if it goes on too long, then, you know, I'll probably snap at one time. It takes a while to get there.
I'm that way too.
Yeah, you're that way. I know you are. So a lot of people can try to control us and we'll let that happen. But what I want to say to anybody who's going through that, pray and ask God to remove that fear and ask him to start bringing the right people. If you are in a controlling, because if you're feeling fear, that means you're probably around people who have fear in their lives because you're experiencing that. So you first of all have to get around a different crowd of people who don't operate in fear. Begin to cultivate that relationship with God, not people, but God. Put him first in your life. Because I'm beginning to do that now for the first time in my life. Before, you know, when I was operating fear, I was looking to the wrong, I was, instead of looking to God, I was looking to people and their problems. So I don't blame people for what I went through. I blame myself. It's because I wasn't looking to God. I was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And another thing I did, and I'm kind of getting off the subject here, and I'm just trying to help somebody. My identity, because of all my years of experiencing rejection, my identity is who the people that I connected, the people to who I was connected with, to who they were. A lot of people, they might have been famous or no famous people or whatever. I thought, oh, I know this person. This is who they are. So my identity was who I was connected to. When I grew up, my brother, my younger brother, that was my best friend growing up, he was extremely popular. And so was my actual female best friend. She was very popular. So my identity was like, oh, well, I'm Lyle's sister. I'm Lori's best friend. So because of who they were and they were popular, that was my identity. So I felt special because they accepted me. So as long as I'm around them, I'm good.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that till later. Oh, I'm good because of... So God had to force me out of certain situations and relationships and have me start bringing people in my life who were not connected to those people, but their connection to God was so strong and you can see where they're going.
Yeah.
So I'm in a place I no longer care who somebody's connected to.
Yeah.
I don't care who you know. Do you know God?
Right.
Is he first in your life?
Right.
Are you on fire for him? Are you led by him?
And that, you know what, that's so important because I think too many of us are getting on social media or we're looking for approval everywhere and we're not, it's not about who you know and people right. really don't care about what you know or who you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And so when you're connected to the Lord and you have that personal relationship with him, it will overflow in every area of your life.
Right.
If you are very diligent about having that relationship with him, making him the priority, just like you're talking about.
So I want to tell you this, like a lot of people, like if you're bound up by the spirit of fear, you're probably surrounded and controlled by people who have fear. Don't get upset when God starts removing people from your life, because the people that were removed from my life had been a part of my life for years. Okay. But God wanted to do something in them and then something in me. But as long as I stayed in their life and them being in my life, he couldn't work on them and then he couldn't work on me. So he had to separate us. Nothing wrong with these people, but sometimes he has to separate people. Well, there's always some people wrong that aren't supposed to be in your life. I'm talking about some of the people that were removed from my life because he's got to work on them.
Right.
Because sometimes you can have be enablers for people, whatever. What I did was so devastating. It was so devastating what I did and what I caused, the trouble that I caused no matter how much I tried to make it right, I was, you know, it devastated me more. I mean, I've devastated the other people, but I was also devastated.
Right.
But God had to force me. He used the situation. It looked like nothing good could come out of it. But he used the situation to force me out to where I wouldn't go back, because I was forced out because I couldn't go back.
Right.
And so he could get a hold of me. Hey, look to me and not them.
Mm.
So I started developing a personal relationship with God. There was 6 months that I didn't go to any church. In that time, God started slowly beginning to renew me. And I'm not telling people to leave church. It's just, this was my situation. Because God wanted me to focus. I was alone. I wasn't really close to anybody during that time or talked to a lot of people during that time. It was just me beginning to slowly heal emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Right.
Pretty soon, he started bringing other people in my life. I wasn't trying to go find people.
Right.
And then he connected me to another church, which is taking me to my next level, to where he wants me to go. So just know that no matter how fearful you are, it may seem devastating. There was one time I was so low in the pit, so broken, that I didn't see any light of day or see any hope. And I'm just like, when I look back over this past year, what God has done, and it was a slow process.
Yeah.
But what he had to do to get me to the right people who began pouring into me.
Mm-hmm.
And to start coming alongside of me to where I'm called to go. And I was just thinking about this recently. You know who God, you know where you're going by the people that God is putting in your life.
Right.
And of course I have, you know, friends that I've always had for a long time that will still be there in my life. I'm not talking anything against those friends. It's just who, all the people that he's currently putting in my life.
Right.
Warriors, people that have my back. They're going to pray for me. Prayer warriors.
Yeah.
I have my old friends and then I have my new friends. They're still on my life. So I just wanted to say, begin meditating on 2 Timothy 1:7. And just begin that intimate relationship with God. Beginning getting books on prayer and then just praying that God will start putting those right people in your life. But God wants to have... First of all, he doesn't want you to put anybody before him.
That's right. Because if you do put people or things before him, those things or people become idols.
Yes. And that's what I was doing.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah. And you'll be very unhappy.
Yep.
So when I look back over everything that's happened in the past year, I am so grateful for what God has done. I never imagined myself to be where I'm at in such an amazing place. I have never been more happy in my life in Christ. Mm. I'm just so blown away. I'm like, wow.
Well, I'm blown away.
It was a process.
Too. Yeah, I'm blown away by just watching you this past year, just what God's done in your life. And you are just such an amazing, amazing person, woman, and you're so strong and everything that you've been through. Had people like given the same opportunity, they might have not handled it as well as you have. And you have really just, I feel, paved a way for many that are going to read your book that can relate to the things that you went through. You're paving the way for many people to have that freedom.
Right. And there's, you know, of course, so many things that I didn't talk about today.
Sure.
That are going to be in the book, but it's just going to, there's probably many people that have been sexually molested as children, but never knew it. And you have this neediness for attention. Like my neediness was not always men. It was just having a friend.
Hmm.
Okay. And a lot of times I attracted the wrong kind of people throughout all those years. I mean, when I first, the first church that I was a part of, and I was living in another state, was a wonderful church. But then God brought me back to Kansas, and I never went back. And it's when I went back to Kansas, starting getting involved with churches there, the first several church before I found the church that I was a part of for 10 years, I went through a lot of hurt. Yeah. Because they weren't healed. And these were people, they used me for my gifts because I was such a giver.
Yeah, you are.
So here I thought I was coming out, but see, it was that neediness that I had to be needed and, okay, let me do this for this person. So even if God had delivered me from sex addiction and all that stuff, there was still neediness there for being needed instead of having a neediness for, instead of wanting my father.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was always people.
Right. And I think, I mean, there's got to be something, a root cause, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Not always sexual abuse, but there's a root cause of why people feel that need to be needed or wanted, or they feel like they're trying to overcompensate because there's a lack there. But what they need to realize, and I think if we all realize it, is that hole in our heart, that thing that we keep trying to fill, is that need for the Lord.
Right.
And when he's really your focus and you're connected to him, other things, yeah, they're great, but when you have him, that's all you need.
Right. And for so long, I didn't want that.
Yeah.
But then I would pray and ask God, God, help me to want you.
Right.
And I didn't know I'd have to go through so much pain, but God will do whatever he needs to do. Now, it wasn't his fault for causing the situation. It was me that caused it, but that's just because I didn't have a relationship with God.
But in God's faithfulness, he used that for your good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so another thing I want to say is certain things, the bad things that happen, don't blame it on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he'll still take those bad things and turn it around for his good.
Yeah.
Like, you won't believe what he makes out of the bad situations. You know, for so many years when I served in the churches, I would serve and do work for God, but I did not have a relationship with him.
Mm.
And guys, for those of you who, it's like, I always was seeking his hand, but not his face. And I didn't want to, but I still prayed and I was like, because I didn't have the desire, because I was looking to people. I said, God, could you please just show me who, I mean, could you just please give me a want? Because you can ask God, if you have a desire, ask God, okay, God, help me to want you.
Right. Yeah.
Because he'll bring you to where you're going to want him, trust me. And then you bring people who are hungry for him. And then you get start getting around people that are so hungry for him. And they have stories of what God has brought them out. And then they start, iron sharpens iron. And you start being around these hungry people for God. Pretty soon you're going to be hungry.
That's right.
So I have people in my life that are so hungry for God.
Yeah.
When I say all out for God,
yeah.
Of course we all have problems. But we don't focus on the problems.
Amen.
We don't talk about our problems.
Yeah.
Hey, look, this might have happened here, but guess what? We're going to go this to in prayer. I have never prayed so much as I have with the people that God has currently put in my life.
Right.
Now I'm starting to have a hunger for prayer and listening to praise and worship music and all this stuff.
Yeah, just be connected to them.
I have a prayer room now. I have a war room in my walk-in closet.
I love it.
So it's just like, because all my friends have the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when guys, and then God showed me stuff that I need to be delivered from, then God showing me things, guys, you also have to be open to what God is trying, because I still need a deliverance in areas.
Yeah. And we all will until we go home with him, to be honest.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Always be constantly open.
Yeah.
And examine yourself, like, is your life based around you? Is everything centered around you? Are you always blaming other people on stuff because of what's not happening in your life, but you're always have the blame finger? You're always pointing at other people. Well, this person did this. You got to really sit down and examine your life, because if you're always blaming people that somebody, where you're always the right one, you ain't going to get nowhere. First of all, blaming and faith don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame people and point fingers at others constantly. And God may be trying to grow you and bring people in your life to say, hey, look, this ain't right, but you're not listening to them.
Yeah.
Know people's hearts. We all make mistakes, but if you know somebody's heart, okay, I know that person hurts. Because I had some people that have hurt me many times, or people that come and hurt you. But, hey, I see their heart. I know their heart. So I'm not going to go get mad at this person. They're right. going through something right now. Let me pray for them. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You have to know people's hearts and not what they've done.
Yeah. I think that's so good. And I love all the wisdom you've shared. And Twilight, before we close, I just want to say thank you again. And I think it's so important, like you said, make sure we're surrounding ourselves with like-minded people that are hungry for the Lord, that want to challenge us, that will, you know, point out stuff and not be afraid to say, hey, you might not want to turn left because I see this over here, you know, and we have to be open to that. So I love that so much. Twilight, I enjoyed you so much on the show today. I know that you've helped so many people just by telling what you've told everyone today and just being transparent and authentic. And I so thank you for that. How can people get a hold of you via social media if they would like to pre-order your book? I know it's in pre-launch right now. Or if they would like to contact you for speaking engagements, etc.
Well, first of all, via social media, you can find me under Twyla Joyce. That's T-W-I-L-A and then Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E. The cover of my book is on my profile and timeline picture, which is public, and then my link is at the bottom of my profile picture. That's one way. My Instagram is also Twyla Joyce, where it'll be a picture of my book cover. Of course, it's called On the Other Side of Fear, Growing Up Amish and My Journey After Leaving. And on my Instagram, I only have several pictures on there, but I have the link for pre-orders on my Instagram where you can, just like Facebook.
Awesome.
For those who see the link or see the podcast on social media, there will also be a link connected and my name tagged as well with this podcast for those who are seeing the podcast from social media, from Facebook. My book will for sure be launched in 2 months. Hopefully a month, okay, but the longest 2 months, just to let you know where it's at.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I just love and appreciate you. And
oh, one more thing.
Yes, go for it.
Oh, sorry. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can either message me on Instagram or Facebook. Now, if we do not have mutual friends, you can only message me, and it'll come through a message filter. And then you can give my information from there. Awesome. I mean, we can connect from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much, Twyla. I really appreciate you. And I know that everyone is blessed by you today. So thank you.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for having me. And y'all be blessed.
Bye.